It's time for the College Football Week 14 Under the Radar Picks Against the Spread. Let's go on and get to it.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All right, it's Winning Cures Everything. This is a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. I am the most active on X. And these are the games that I do not discuss on the BetUS College Football Show. Right now, some of these we might have hit in the Q&A or whatever, but we do full breakdowns over there. There's a link in the description down below if you would check those out for sure. But these are just quick previews. Which way I would lean on these games. They're not official picks. You can get those at bettingcfb.com or on the BetUS College Football Show. But let's go ahead and dive into it, and we are going to start off with game number one. Colorado is hosting Oklahoma State on Friday. So some of these are Friday. Some of the first four are on Friday. The rest are on Saturday. 67 FBS versus FBS games this week. I'm only doing 20 of them. There's just a lot of games. A lot of games this week. But let's get into it. And we're going early this week. So, all right. Colorado hosting Oklahoma State. And Colorado currently a 16.5-point home favorite. Total of 65.5 on this. My number on it is Colorado by 17, around 17.5. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, I've got Colorado minus 12.5. Certainly they did not look very good last week. They could not stop could not stop Kansas from running the football. Devin Neal just was an absolute animal. But on offense, you know, they look just fine. They weren't able to score enough on Kansas. That's certainly true. When you look here, number 35 in PPA per pass, that's predicted points added per pass. Oklahoma State number 118 on defense. Oklahoma State 115 in yards allowed per attempt. Number 108 in QBR allowed. And they can't stop the run either. It's not that, you know, obviously Colorado only runs the ball on 36.42% of their offensive snaps, so that's not great. On the other side, this Colorado defense, they're not great at stopping the pass. They're number 47 in PPA allowed per pass. They're number 59 in yards allowed per attempt, but Oklahoma State only number 60 in yards per attempt. Oklahoma State's not great. They're going with a different quarterback this week from what I saw, and I don't even know who the kid is at this point, so they're just throwing anything against the wall to see what sticks. Think there might be something going on at the running back position with Oklahoma State. Not totally certain. But just overall efficiency, Colorado number 19 in five factors plus talent. Oklahoma State number 81. This is, especially in the second half, Colorado number 13 in second half point margin. I think they eventually pull away in this game. We're going to go with Colorado minus the 16.5 on this one. Next game up, we have got Wisconsin hosting Minnesota. Wisconsin trying to get to a bowl game here. Minnesota's already gotten to a bowl game, and this is kind of a letdown spot because Minnesota obviously had issues I don't know why they kicked a field goal late in that game instead of going for it on fourth down. He believed in his defense. I get it. But Penn State held the ball for the last 5.5 minutes. Should have gone for it. Anyway, so they lose by one at home to Penn State last week. Now they got to go on the road against the Wisconsin team that's trying to get to a bowl game to extend a streak there. My number has Minnesota favored by 2.43. The number on this is Wisconsin favored by 2.5. Total of 43.5, so not a lot of points on this one. It's at Camp Randall. It's a Friday spot, you know, noon Eastern. My last 4 weeks, I've got Wisconsin favored by 3.7. Overall season, I've got Minnesota favored by almost 2.5. This Wisconsin team has played some really, really difficult games, and they have actually fared relatively well. The game against Oregon was just an absolute heartbreaker. Last week, they get blown out by Nebraska. That was a different set of circumstances. Now they're coming back home. The defense ought to be able to stop what it is that Minnesota wants to do the most. Minnesota has been throwing the ball a ridiculous amount. They are throwing the ball the 21st most in the country. 56.89% of their offensive snaps is basically Max Brosmer back there throwing the football. And that's because they're actually not great on a down-to-down basis running the ball. I know they got Darius Taylor, but Wisconsin is not very good at defending the run. We'll see if that changes for this game. But we're in week 14. Like, at this point, you know what you are, and that's what I think is going on here. I think, looking at points per scoring opportunity for Minnesota, looking at points per scoring opportunity for Wisconsin, et cetera, I think you can almost throw all this stuff out. Wisconsin at home, bowl game on the line. I think we're going Wisconsin. I'm going to trust the last 4 weeks of stats. I'll take the Badgers. So give me Wisconsin minus 2. 2 is the best number you can get. I think that's at ESPN right now. So next up on the board, moving to game 3. Iowa is hosting Nebraska on Friday evening. This was a 7:30 p.m. Eastern time kick. 6:30 p.m. God's time zone, of course. And right now, Iowa is a 5.5-point favorite. You can get a 6 at some places. This thing opened Iowa minus 4.5. It's already moved up quite a bit. Nebraska got bowl eligible last week. Dana Holgorsen is the new offensive coordinator. Total on this is 39.5, so not a lot of points expected, but found something interesting from Dana Holgorsen. Allergies just killing me right now. Dana Holgorsen told the press that he was an offensive coordinator at Texas Tech like 20 years ago, and they played Iowa in a bowl game, and he said, "I'm telling you that it is the same coaches, the same scheme, the same everything, that it is really, really wild." And it's not that he's saying that it's beatable, because it's not. Obviously, you see Iowa number 27 in predicted points added, PPA, allowed per drive. Like, they're good. Defensive success rate is only number 64. They're not very good against the run. Found that impressive. Look at Iowa's defense. Number 94 in rushing success rate allowed. Number 43 in PPA allowed per rush. Number 49 in yards per rush allowed. But they're number 96 in offensive line yards. Number 124 in stuff rate right now. So there's ways that Nebraska can move the football on this defense. I found that interesting. Now, obviously, special teams efficiency certainly leans Iowa, as it would in basically every matchup. Penalties per game, that leans Iowa. Turnover margin leans Iowa. All these little fundamental things lean Iowa. And yet, because of the change in offensive coordinator, because of the quarterback that Nebraska has, because of the fact that Iowa is on their third-string quarterback, who looked fine, Jackson Stratton last week, there's talk that Cade McNamara might play. I think it might be gamesmanship. I think this one's going to be a tight ball game, and it typically is between these two. I'm going to go with Nebraska to cover the 6. That is the best number you can get, and that one's at ESPN as well. So we'll take the Cornhuskers to cover the 6 here. Game 4, Utah heads to UCF, and currently UCF is a 9.5-point home favorite. 9.5 over Utah. I mean, that is just bananas. These two teams have fallen off drastically. They're both 4-7. No bowl game in the plans for either one of these. But 9.5 for UCF is pretty wild. Total of 47.5. This is interesting. You got number 52 in PPA margin against number 69. My number on this currently has UCF by 6.25. My spread based on the last 4 weeks of stats has Utah favored by 7.7 points. Make that make sense. Again, it's just taking the stats from the last 4 weeks and picking a winner. So it's a very limited sample size, but you get the point. Looking at the full season, Utah's defense is still really, really good. And they are really good at defending the rush, right? Number 8 in rushing success allowed, number 18 in PPA allowed per rush. UCF is number 11 and number 6 in those metrics. So they're pretty good. Now, rushing explosiveness, Utah has allowed some explosive runs. UCF is number 19 in that metric. So you look at offensive line yards, stuff rate, UCF number 3 in offensive line yards, number 20 in stuff rate. Utah's defense number 4 and number 2. Now, Utah's defense has not been the problem. Utah's offense is the problem. Number 117 PPA per rush, number 109 in PPA per pass. They are number 121 in offensive success rate. It is so bad. I mean, Andy Ludwig just up and resigned in the middle of the season. Like, it was terrible. And it's still bad. So neither team great as far as points per scoring opportunity. Utah's defense does not allow teams to finish drives very often. So that is something to pay attention to, because UCF, even though they're number 20 in scoring opportunities per game, they get inside the opponent 46.73 times or 6.73 drives per game, but they're number 72 in points per scoring opportunity. They can't seem to finish. And when you look at it, at number 57 in offensive red zone conversion percentage, yeah, it's not great. It's not great. I think this is too many points. Like, I know that we want to write off Utah and whatnot, but they certainly showed a good effort last week against Iowa State. Granted, that was at home. I know they're traveling a long ways here. I still think 9.5 might be a touch too much. So we will roll with the Utes on this one. Game 5, Tennessee playing in Nashville, going to Vanderbilt. And Vandy currently a 10.5-point home dog here, total of 48.5. And typically, I would be all over Diego Pavia as a double-digit dog. I know that when you start looking back at games like Tennessee going to Arkansas, et cetera, they found ways to slow down that Tennessee offense. The problem is, I think that Vanderbilt does not have the depth, and they are dinged up. They certainly played their hearts out last week against LSU. I think Tennessee is a little bit of a different beast. They need some style points. They're feeling good about the playoff right now. I don't think there's a ton of pressure, but this is not the kind of spot. I mean, we saw what South Carolina did to Vanderbilt in Nashville just a few weeks ago. It's 28-7. That defensive line certainly got after that bunch. I think looking at this, I feel like I'm leaning Tennessee. Tennessee, I've got them favored by 16. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, I've got Tennessee by 21. And that is because Vanderbilt has not played all that well as of late. They did cover at LSU last week, but the LSU is just a shell of itself right now. Vandy number 94 in PPA margin, Tennessee number 18. Vandy number 109 in defensive PPA allowed per drive. Tennessee's defense is number 7. And what you're really looking at is havoc rate. Tennessee's defense number 4. Vandy's offense number 63 at allowing it. On the other side, this Vandy defense, like, obviously Tennessee's going to run the ball. And if you look at it, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. They run the ball. Tennessee runs the ball 56.32% of the time. That is 29th most in the country. But if you were going to get your offense going, if you were going to get your passing game going, this secondary would be the one to do it against. Number 116 in PPA allowed per pass. Number 104 in yards allowed per attempt. Number 117 in QBR. Tennessee hadn't been terrible at these, if you really look at it. Number 47, number 33, and number 31 in those metrics. And they don't throw the ball very much. So I don't think Vandy's going to be able to get after the quarterback very much here. I think that this is a big spot for Tennessee. So I will take the Vols at minus 10.5 on this one. All right, right quick. Ghost Leaves. I've told you all about Ghost Leaves, but I'm telling you, it's the best kinesiology technology on the market. They've got compression sleeves, they've got compression shirts, compression socks, etc. They are awesome. And that's putting it mildly. I'm telling you, if you are old like me and you have got hurting joints, whether it's from playing golf or going out and playing now old people sports, right? Pickleball, whatever. If you're trying to shoot some hoops at the gym, something like that, you've been working out too hard. These compression sleeves, compression socks, compression shirts, etc., they're all great. They've got gels. They got everything else. Save 15% off your order. Just go to gosleeves.com and put in the code WCE, or just go to gosleeves.com/WCE. There's a link in the description for it. You can check it out there. Also, if you wanna, if you like these stat sheets that I've got here, go to bettingcfb.com. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year. We have a good time. A lot of bonus podcasts, bonus content, a lot of stat projections, all kind of different graphics that I put out over there, along with some of my early picks, early plays, things that I actually have my money on, so that you don't necessarily have to. I'll do some different stuff than what's on the BetUS College Football Show, because we only do that show two times a week. The lines pop up at all different hours. So pay attention. Go to bettingcfb.com.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Calm. All right, we move along. We're going to game number six here. Northwestern hosts Illinois, and Illinois miracle workers last week. Absolute miracle that they got that touchdown late and won that ball game against Rutgers. But regardless, Northwestern, a 7.5-point home dog here, total of 43.5. And looking at this, my number has Illinois favored by 10. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, I've got Illinois by 7.67. Obviously, that's not like the best projection, but, you know, it is what it is. Northwestern has played relatively well until last week when Michigan hung 50 on them. The Northwestern defense had been better, and last week was just awful. Illinois' defense, the thing that Northwestern likes to do the most is obviously pass the ball. You see it, number 45 in pass rate, 52.17% of their offensive snaps are passing the ball, but they're not good at it. Number 131 in PPA per pass, number 130 in yards per attempt, number 130 in QBR. I mean, that is close to, it's bottom five in the country. You're talking about being in the ranks of like Kent State. Okay, this is not ideal. Illinois' defense can stop the pass. They're at least pretty decent at that. As far as stopping the run, not great. Number 128 in rushing success rate allowed. They're number 111 in PPA allowed per rush. Number 86 in yards per rush. So that's not great. Average field position, yeah, this is it. Everything comes up Illinois when it comes to field position. You look at five factors plus talent. I mean, these teams, there is a chasm difference between these two teams. Number 42 for Illinois, number 107 for Northwestern. Turnover margin leans Illinois. Special teams efficiency, that leans Illinois. Penalties per game actually leans Northwestern here, but it's not by much. You're talking number 17 and number 20 in penalty yards per game. I think Illinois is going to be able to throw the ball on Northwestern. 7.5 is the best number that you could get right now. I'm going to go that direction. I think Illinois wants to get to a ninth win. I mean, this team right now is sitting at 8-3. Could you imagine Brett Bielema winning 9 games at Illinois? Unbelievable. Next one up, we got a rivalry game, another one. And this one's SEC versus ACC. Louisville goes to Kentucky. They're going to Lexington. Kentucky, a 4.5-point dog, total of 48.5. And I think that the reason why this line is so low is because everybody has paid attention to the fact that Kentucky has blasted this Cardinals team for the last 5 years in a row. And they have put up, even though their offense has been terrible, they've always found a way to score on the Cardinals. I think that changes this year. I've got Louisville favored by a little over 7.5 points, almost 8 points. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, I've got Louisville by 15. Kentucky is going to start a freshman quarterback in this spot. He played last week at Texas, looked okay, but just okay. Louisville's defense isn't great. Maybe they have found something here, and I'm probably going to go back and regret this thing. But looking at what Kentucky has done on defense, they really haven't been that great. I think Louisville should be able to put up points. Jeff Brohm is a proud, proud coach. Remember, this is his alma mater. This is a massive game for him. He really, really wants to win this game. And I don't see the fire in Kentucky the same way that I have in the past. Stoops understands how important it is to win this game. But I think Brohm has the pieces this year. I think Kentucky's got some restructuring to do. I think they got to figure some things out. So what we'll look at here is I will take Louisville to cover the 4.5. I feel good about that because I just think this team is better this year than Kentucky. On to the next one, and we're moving to game number 8 here. Kansas is going to Baylor. Baylor is a 1.5-point home dog. And yeah, Kansas has beaten 3 straight ranked teams, Iowa State, BYU, and then they whipped on Colorado last week. I think, well, let's talk about the numbers. I've got Baylor favored by 4.21 for the full season. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, I've got Baylor favored by 3. Kansas still has defensive issues, right? But it may not necessarily matter because Kansas's offense is absolutely rolling. They're number 7 in PPA per rush. They are number 23 in rush rate. They run the ball nearly 58% of the time. Number 18 in rushing success rate. Baylor's defense is number 18 in rushing success allowed. However, they're number 86 in rushing explosiveness. They are number 42 in yards per rush. They are number 59 in PPA allowed per rush. Like, I think Kansas probably can stay ahead of the sticks here. On the other side, this Baylor offense, I mean, this is like a reawakening for them. Number 30 in PPA per pass, number 25 in QBR. Kansas's defense is number 102 and number 85 in PPA allowed per pass. They have been a little bit better as of late. Obviously, they slowed down Colorado enough last week. Colorado just couldn't get any stops. Like, the punter didn't punt a single time last week for Kansas. Like, they're just ridiculous. BYU. Baylor has a special teams advantage, number 31 in special teams efficiency, compared to Kansas, number 76. I think there's a little bit too much hype on Kansas. Obviously, they need to win this one to go to a bowl game. I think Baylor wants to get to an 8th win. I think that this is a proud program. It's been a while since they've had a good, successful season. I think Baylor's going to win this game. This line has, like, completely flipped. I don't know. It's pretty wild. Pretty wild. So I'm going to take Baylor to cover the 4.21 on this. Baylor to cover the 4.2. Baylor to cover the 1.5. I don't know why they're a dog. Like, I know it's a lot of hype, but I think it's too much hype. Way too much hype. All right. Moving along. Game number 9. We're going to stay in the Big 12. Texas Tech hosting West Virginia. And I'll tell you, Texas Tech currently favored by 3.5 at home, total of 64.5. This one could get wild. Could absolutely get wild. Both of these teams technically still alive for the conference title game. And in that case, that means that they are technically still alive for a playoff spot. Okay, we'll see what that means. But looking at this, West Virginia, like, both of these teams are really good in special teams. My number on this is Texas Tech minus 5.5. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Texas Tech minus 13. Would it surprise anybody which team wins here? I don't think so. I mean, West Virginia just, you're looking at number 74 in PPA margin, which is Texas Tech, and then number 100 in PPA margin, that is West Virginia. Both of these teams are better on offense than they are on defense. Texas Tech is a little bit better on offense, number 34 in PPA per drive on offense, West Virginia number 55. And when you look at defense, Texas Tech number 97 in PPA allowed per drive, and West Virginia number 126. West Virginia's defense really good at stopping the run, so Taj Brooks might run into some problems. However, West Virginia's defense is number 133 in PPA allowed per pass, yards per attempt, and in QBR allowed. It is so bad. Like, just absolutely ridiculous. I think Texas Tech is going to be able to throw on them. And if you can get anything going with Taj Brooks in the running game, it should be, I think it's going to be absolutely bananas. Absolutely bananas. On the other side, the West Virginia offense should be able to get some stuff going, but the strength of the Texas Tech defense is actually stopping the run. That could be, it's not that they're great at stopping it, they're just better at stopping that than they are the pass. I think both of these teams are going to be able to score. I mean, there's a reason why the total is 65.5, or was 65.5. It's come down to 64.5. Yeah, my stat projected total doesn't believe in either of those. It's 52.72. Don't pay attention to that. Some of these totals have been very high variance this year for whatever reason. I'll get back in the lab on that. But as it sits right now, I'm going to take Texas Tech to cover the 3.5 at home. I think they're going to be, this is a proud football team. I think they're going to show up here. That's what I think. All right. Game number 10. Boston College hosts Pitt. And Boston College right now favored by 4.5 with a total of 49.5 on this. My number has Boston College by 0.73. My spread based on the last 4 weeks of stats has Pitt minus 11. Almost 12. Sometimes these last four stats make no sense whatsoever. The Pitt defense has certainly shown up in some of these spots more so than the offense, for sure. This offense has just completely fallen off a cliff. We'll say that. Pitt is number 78 in offensive PPA per drive. They still pace of play. They are top 10 in pace of play. They move the ball very quickly if they can move it. BC has gotten a lot better at throwing the football since moving to Grayson James. Both of these teams, by the way, are bowl-bound. Pitt has lost four straight. BC feeling a lot better. Grayson James seems to fit this Bill O'Brien offense significantly better than Thomas Castellanos. 26th in PPA per pass. Pitt's defense is number 69. Pitt's defense number 25 in havoc. However, BC is number 27 in havoc allowed. Passing explosiveness leans BC. QBR, yards per attempt, PPA per pass, all that stuff leans Boston College. At Boston College, their run rate is still significantly higher because it's so 58.65% of their offensive snaps have been runs, but that has shifted. That has shifted since they moved quarterbacks. On the other side, this Pitt offense, I don't know what kind of success they're going to have here. They throw the ball 60% of the time. I think Holstein might be back this week. If he is, then I think that's probably going to be the best path towards success because the BC defense is number 107 in passing success rate allowed. And Pitt's actually number 38 in passing success rate. It's just that when you've had injured quarterbacks and all that kind of stuff, it's just the chemistry is off. Something is off there. And as quick as that Cade Bell offense runs, you need chemistry for sure. These two teams are just going in completely opposite directions. So while my numbers say that I should be taking Pitt here, I'm going to go with the team that is a lot hotter right now. I mean, it's already moved a bit. Boston College minus 3.5. It's gone through a key of 4. I'm still going to side Boston College this week. Give me Boston College minus 4.5 on this one. All right, if you've not already, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. Looks like this. It's a little button right there. Do me that favor. That would certainly help out the show. And subscribe, that helps things out as well. It's a one-man show. It's just me. I edit everything. I do it all. All the graphics, all the stuff that gets typed up, it's all me. So if you want to help me, just click that like button, hit that subscribe button. That would certainly help out. Ticket Smarter. Tickets are expensive to everything. NBA games, concerts. I mean, there's all kind of stuff. There's a Metallica stadium tour that I'm actually interested in going to this coming year. A stadium tour. That means that there's like 70,000 people, 70 to 100,000 people going to these shows, and the tickets are still like $250. It's insane. But you can save money every single time that you order tickets to whatever event it might be. WCE10 is going to get you $10 off an order of $100 or more. WCE20 is going to get you $20 off an order of $300 or more. It's getting close to Christmas time. Tickets are a wonderful gift. I will guarantee that. So if you want to buy somebody some tickets, you might as well save some money. So do that. Go into ticketsmarter.com. Put in those promo codes WCE10 or WCE20. Save yourself some money. Think smarter with Ticket Smarter. All right. Of course, don't forget, these are the games that were not discussed on the BetUS College Football Show. Do me a favor. Go and check out the BetUS College Football Show. We're going to be with you through the whole football season, and then we continue doing off-season content. We get ready for the next year. So make sure you are subscribed over there as well. There's a link in the description. All right. We carry on to game number 11. Let's go to the SEC, right? Here we go. Missouri hosting Arkansas. Missouri right now a 3.5-point home favorite. Total of 54.5. And these two teams right now, Arkansas already bowl eligible. Missouri sitting at 8-3. They're trying to get to 9 wins. I've got Missouri favored by 8.14 here. 8.14 points. That is just wild. Spread based on the last 4 weeks of stats, Missouri minus 15.5. Missouri did to Mississippi State what they were supposed to last week. Arkansas actually beat State worse. However, you start diving into this thing, and it's a little goofy. Arkansas number 29 in PPA margin. Missouri is number 46. The Missouri offense certainly fell off a cliff whenever Brady Cook couldn't play, but Brady Cook is back now. Arkansas number 17 in offensive success rate. Missouri number 58 in that defensive success. Missouri significantly better, number 26. And Arkansas number 46 in defensive success rate allowed. If Brady Cook is back, he and Luther Burden and Theo Weiss and all that bunch are going to be able to have some success on this Arkansas secondary. Arkansas number 97 in PPA allowed per pass. They are number 103 in QBR allowed. And while the Missouri numbers don't exactly look good, that's because, obviously, Brady Cook was out. So when you don't have your quarterback, obviously things fall down. On the other side, the Missouri defense, really good at stopping the run. Arkansas, pretty split down the middle. 50.58% rush rate. And on the other side, passing the ball, they throw the ball 49.42% of their snaps. So they are almost 50-50 balanced here. They're a lot better at earning the ball. Some of that has to do with Taylen Green. Obviously, he has missed some time as well, but regardless, they're number 5 in rushing success rate. Missouri's defense is number 25 in that. The best course of success, I think, is going to be throwing the ball for Arkansas. But even then, I don't think they'll have a ton of success here. This could get a little bit pointy. This one's 54.5 for a total. It opened up at, yeah, it's still sitting at 54.5. My total likes it at 50, or closer to 51. All the little things kind of lean Missouri. Penalties, turnover margin, Arkansas a little bit better in special teams. I think the number's wrong. Arkansas obviously would love to get this one, but Eli Drinkwitz, his snarky self, I will take Missouri to cover 3. And that's you can get that at DK right now. That is the best number that's on the board. There's a lot of Arkansas love in the market. I'm going against it. I don't buy it. Don't trust it. We carry on. Game number 12, Michigan State hosting Rutgers. Michigan State currently a 1.5-point home favorite, total of 47.5. My number has Rutgers favored by almost 2. My spread based on the last 4 weeks has got Michigan State by almost 6. Yeah. Not expecting a ton of points here. Michigan State has played a significantly stronger strength of schedule. Number 13 in strength of schedule versus Rutgers, number 67. Looking at ESPN strength of record, Michigan State number 56, Rutgers number 58. So while my number does like Rutgers, I do kind of dive in and wonder exactly how the weighting of the schedules, I wonder how that plays in here. So Rutgers has already secured their bowl bid. Michigan State needs this one for a bowl bid. We'll be quick on this. Rutgers likes to run the ball. They run it 52.5% of the time. Michigan State is really good at defending the run. Number 25 in PPA allowed per rush. Number 27 in yards allowed per rush. Number 24 in rushing success allowed. Rutgers can throw the ball some, and certainly that is an issue for Michigan State. They're number 73 in yards allowed per attempt. Number 83 in QBR. Number 114 in PPA allowed per pass. But on the other side, I think that Michigan State can have some success on offense, I think. Number 43 in rushing success rate. Now, all the other numbers are bad. PPA per rush, all that kind of stuff. They're number 94 in fumbles lost per rush. I think this point in the season, I trust Michigan State to be able to get this done. Rutgers still has a lot of guys that are out and whatnot. They have gotten a little bit better as of late. But, boy, you want to talk about a deflating loss. That loss to Illinois last week, that was just jarring, losing on the last play of the game like that. And so I am going to go with Michigan State to cover the 1.5 at home. I feel good about that. Feel good about that. All right, game number 13. NC State going to North Carolina. And as it sits right now, North Carolina is a 3.5-point home favorite. We got a total of 55.5 on this one. And I'm looking at this. Obviously, Mack Brown was just fired earlier this morning, or was let, they announced that he was fired. How's that? So it might have happened yesterday. Who knows? But my number has North Carolina favored by almost six. Spread based on the last 4 weeks of stats actually has NC State favored by one. NC State has won several in a row in this series. Dave Doran always seems to have their number, even when they have really, really good years. Does North Carolina come out all fired up for Mack Brown? I don't think so. I'm certain that the kids love the guy, but at some point you are what you are. And I feel like NC State has been significantly better recently than North Carolina. So, looking at this, the North Carolina offense cannot throw the ball. They can run the ball. Number 13 in PPA per rush, number 24 in rushing success rate. NC State's defense, number 33 in rushing success allowed. Here's the one that you're scared of, and that is rushing explosiveness allowed. This Tony Gibson defense has not been great this year. Number 130 in rushing explosiveness allowed. In North Carolina's number 38. So North Carolina on offense, yeah, probably going to be able to put up some points, right? Total is down to, what, 55.5? It opened at 56.5. I think it might go the other way because I think, like, I like C.J. Bailey and what he's doing for NC State's offense. Number 36 in PPA per pass, number 34 in pass rate, but number 60 in yards per attempt. North Carolina's number 94 at yards allowed per attempt. I'm curious about North Carolina being able to get after the quarterback. That's obviously an issue. They're number 77 in havoc created. NC State is number 130 in havoc rate allowed. Now, some of that was earlier this season, but, you know, it's still a bit of an issue. I'll say that. Turnover margin, neither is very good. NC State is number 124 in giveaways per game. That is certainly an issue. North Carolina didn't really turn it over that much, but they don't generate turnovers either. Penalties per game, that's NC State. They lean that direction. I think this one could end up being a field goal game. Either direction. I mean, yeah, we could even see overtime and this thing get to two-point tries or whatever. I'll take NC State plus 3.5 on this. I think it's going to be tight. I think there's a chance NC State wins because Dave Doran seems to have Mack Brown's number. And how fitting would it be for North Carolina to go out with a loss at home after firing the coach to their hated rival, bitter football rival? We'll say that. Okay. Let's see. Next game up, we got game number 14 here. In the Big Ten, Indiana hosts Purdue. And Indiana currently a 28.5-point favorite at home, total of 56.5. Indiana, of course, got shellacked last week by Ohio State, but that was Ohio State. Purdue gets shellacked by everybody. You look at ESPN's strength of record, number 7 for Indiana, number 119 for Purdue. Now, Purdue has played a tougher strength of schedule, certainly, but they are getting just killed by everybody. Everybody. I don't have many teams power rated further apart than these two. Indiana, I've got number 11. Purdue, I've got number 118. I mean, it is a chasm of difference between the two, and this game is in Indiana with Sig Vicious just absolutely being embarrassed last week. So this thing opened at 27.5. It's up to 28.5. It's even 29 in some spots. I don't even know what you need to break down. I mean, a PPA margin, Indiana is number 9. Purdue is number 132. Number 132 in just raw predicted points added margin. Like, that's per play on both sides. A special teams efficiency, Indiana number 7, Purdue number 122. Turnover margin, Indiana number 12, Purdue number 120. Penalty yards per game, Indiana number 23, Purdue number 74. I mean, it just, there's just not much you can point to. So while it is a very large number, I think with the playoff potentially on the line, I don't think that this game necessarily matters. But how about just don't let it matter? I think that's the easiest way to do it. So we'll go with Indiana minus the 28.5. I think Indiana is really going to lay it on. They demolish bad football teams, and that's exactly what Purdue is. So game number 15 here. Florida goes to Florida State. This one's in Tallahassee. Florida right now a 14.5-point road favorite. 45.5 is our total. So the Gators, who have been underdogs basically in most games this season, they now find themselves more than a 2-touchdown favorite in this spot. Florida State is looking for anything. They're down to their third-string quarterback. He's not been very good. It's not that this Florida defense is gangbusters, right? They got some good stops last week against Ole Miss. They got some good stops against LSU. You start looking at, points per scoring opportunity. They allow people to get into the red zone, and then these people cannot finish drives, right? Number 91 in scoring opportunities allowed per game. 6.09 drives get inside their 40-yard line. Points per scoring opportunity, they're number 28. They allow just over a field goal for every drive that gets inside the 40. Florida State can't score. They're number 127 in points per scoring opportunity. They barely get inside the opponent 40. So, on the other side, the Florida State defense, that's kind of been the shining light of this team. And it's not that Florida's offense is very good at all. You still have a pretty immobile DJ Lagway. But, man, Florida, number 76 in PPA per pass, but they are number 12 in yards per attempt, number 37 in QBR. It's still number 103 in passing success rate. They don't keep drives going. But, man, when they get inside the opponent 40, they score. Number 42 in that. Now, Florida State does stop people from scoring, but still. You're looking at number 27 in five factors plus talent to Florida State's number 91. You would think, with Florida being number 75 in PPA margin, Florida State being number 125, you would think maybe I would have Florida predicted to win by more than I do, but my number on this is Florida minus about 10.5. Spread based on the last 4 weeks has Florida only by like 0.3 points. And that's with Florida State just losing and whatnot. And Florida State obviously looked good against Charleston Southern, and those stats are thrown in here because maybe it built up some confidence. Rivalry game, more than 2 touchdowns. Florida not used to being in this role, and it's on the road. I'm going to go with Florida State, which sounds incredibly foolish with the way that the Gators are rolling right now. But, man, like it does feel like the last two wins that Florida has gotten had a lot to do with the other team as well. Just throwing it out there. No hate, Florida. No hate. Just saying. Right quick, if you want to support the show, help me out by, one, liking the video, subscribe to the channel, of course. But the web store, winningcureseverything.com, we have a web store over there. It's got all kinds of things. Shirts, aprons, hoodies, you name it. Mouse pads, backpacks, hats, all that kind of stuff. You can sign up, or not sign up, you can go shopping over there if you like Winning Cures Everything branded apparel. But check it out, winningcureseverything.com. Of course, don't forget, I already told you about betting CFB, but these stat sheets, along with bonus podcasts, Q&As, all kind of different stuff. I post a ton of stuff over there each week, and we'll continue on. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year. If you want to support an independent creator, that's what I am, you can do that at bettingcfb.com. Don't forget, tomorrow, Three Dog Thursday. It's going to be on Wednesday this time, because obviously Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we don't want you to have to miss any time with your family, so we're going to go on and do it a day early, and I will actually be back on with TJ this time. So go ahead and check it out, Three Dog Thursday, right here at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, which is, of course, God's time zone. All right, we move to game number 16. That's not the right game. That is the right game. LSU is hosting Oklahoma, and currently Oklahoma is a 5.5-point dog in Baton Rouge, total of 47.5 on this. My number on it has LSU favored by a little over 0.5. That's it. Spread based on the last 4 weeks is actually Oklahoma minus 22. Oklahoma looked absolutely outstanding against Alabama last week. LSU, yeah, they got the win over Vanderbilt. It's not that they were great by any stretch of the imagination. This LSU offense, they are number 28 in havoc allowed. The Oklahoma defense is number 23 in havoc created. So that is something to pay attention to, because they really went after Alabama last week. And, boy, did they do a good job. Yeah, they got to the quarterback. I think LSU has a quarterback that is better suited to deal with some of those. And LSU, of course, will be at home. It's night game, Death Valley, all that kind of stuff. This Oklahoma defense is serious. I mean, they were number one in PPA allowed per rush. They are number three in rushing success allowed, number 13 in offensive line yard, you know, blah, 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 blah. But can they stop the pass? They're number 54 in PPA allowed per pass. They are number 61 in QBR allowed, all that kind of stuff. The offense found something last week. The week before the Alabama game was their first bye week with their new offensive coordinator because they fired Seth Luttrell right in the middle of everything, made it kind of weird, right? So now you get to implement your stuff, what you think works best right now, what you can have the most success with, and they figured out Jackson Arnold can run the ball some, and so long as we don't put it in the air, we can't turn it over. Seems to have worked. Seems to have worked. Feel like 6 points is a little bit much. So I'm going to trust my number on this. All the fundamental stuff leans Oklahoma. This is a proud program that was down for a little bit. I don't know if they get the outright win. I just think this is going to be a tight game. So I will take Oklahoma plus the 6. Carrying on. Another rivalry game. This vaunted Big Ten rival. Oregon is hosting Washington, and Oregon coming off of a bye week. Washington just going through it, absolutely going through it. Right now, Washington is bowl eligible. They got bowl eligible with a win over USC. Oregon is favored by 19.5, total of 50.5. It opened at 18.5 and then moved up to 19.5 very quickly. Oregon doesn't really have a lot to play for here. I've got them favored by 19.49, so right at the number. Spread based on the last 4 weeks of stats, I've actually got Oregon by like 18. But they're rested now. They're getting ready to go to the Big Ten championship game. No matter what, they could lose this game and the Big Ten title game and still get into the playoff at this point. However, they don't like Washington. This Washington team kept them out of the playoff, kept them out of from winning championships the last 2 years. And Dan Lanning remembers that. Even though it's different faces on that sideline, Washington got them by 3 points the last 3 times that they played. Don't think he forgot that stuff. This Oregon team is number one in strength of record. They are number 11 in PPA margin. Now, Washington is number 22 in PPA margin. But look at all the fundamental stuff. Number 22 in SP Plus special teams efficiency. Washington number 131. Turnover margin, Oregon better, 33 to 45. Looking at penalties. Penalty yards per game, Oregon number 33. Washington number 85. So there are little things here and there that Oregon just does better. Points per scoring opportunity. This Oregon defense, number 31. The Washington offense is number 104. They can't finish drives. On the other side, Oregon's offense, number 30 at finishing drives. The Washington defense, number 46. So everything that Washington does, Oregon does a little bit better. I'm going to go with the Ducks. I think that Dan Lanning wants to lay it on them, and I think he's going to. I think they win by at least 3 touchdowns, and it might be more. Might be more. We'll see. All right. Virginia. There we go. Virginia goes to Virginia Tech in a battle of 5 and 6 teams, both of them trying to get to bowl eligibility here. Virginia Tech is a 7.5-point home favorite, total of 48.5 on this. My number has Virginia Tech favored by 12. It's, let's see, spread based on the last 4 weeks has got Virginia Tech by 17. It feels like a lot of points. And you would think, looking at those numbers, that I would go that direction. Virginia certainly did not show up last week against SMU. That did not look good. They did fight late against Notre Dame, but that one was well in hand as well. The Virginia Tech offense is certainly not good. The defense is still good. Number 20 in defensive PPA allowed per drive. But here's my issue. Virginia Tech might be on a third-string quarterback. Colin Schley questionable right now. I think Kyron Drones is out. Virginia Tech turns the ball over 77, or number 77 most in the country. And Virginia is number 85, but the defense for Virginia Tech certainly warrants them being favored here. I think that it might be too much, though. That's just my guess. I don't have a good feel on this because when you don't know who's playing, you don't really know what the numbers mean, right? Like, Calandra is going to play, I think, for Virginia. We're looking at a big difference as far as power rating is concerned. Virginia Tech, I've got number 43. Virginia, I've got number 81. But you're looking, again, this is different motivations. Two teams that really want to go to a bowl game this year. Both sitting at 5-6. I think it's going to be a tight ball game. So, in a tight ball game, go with the dog, especially when you've got a total that's below 50. So give me Virginia plus 7.5 here. Marshall goes to James Madison. If I'm not mistaken, Marshall with a chance to wrap up a... we'll look at the standings real quick as we're doing this. But I think Marshall can get to the Sun Belt title game, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll scroll through, and I probably should have done this beforehand. But yeah, Marshall 6-1 right now. James Madison is 4-3. So James Madison has no prayer at getting to the Sun Belt Championship. But Marshall could get to their 9th win of the season. You want to talk about it under the radar. That's the way it goes. But yeah, 6-1 in conference, and they have to win this. If they lose it, obviously they could still get in because Georgia Southern could potentially lose to App State. But regardless, neither here nor there. James Madison is favored by 3.5 here, total of 52.5 on this one. And I've got Marshall favored by 1.5. It's spread based on the last 4 weeks. I've got Marshall by almost 6. What is it about James Madison? Like, why are they favored in this spot? Like, I feel like my metrics are relatively close to the market. And it's not that I'm, like, way, way off here. It's just, I mean, you're looking at, both teams are 8-3. But I think Marshall's better. Better defense. Tough, I mean, not able to stop the run as easily, for sure. They're number 105 in PPA allowed per rush, but they don't allow the passing game to get going. On the other side, yeah, this James Madison defense, the thing is, all the James Madison numbers look a whole lot better because these are raw numbers, garbage time excluded. But that strength of schedule, number 128, Marshall has faced the number 63 strength of schedule. James Madison has not played hardly anybody. Looking at their schedule right now, yeah, they whipped North Carolina. But aside from that, Charlotte, Gardner-Webb, Ball State, Louisiana Monroe, Coastal, Georgia Southern, Southern Miss, Georgia State, Old Dominion, they lost by 2 touchdowns at App State last week. I mean, that's, when you look at Marshall, I mean, it's a little bit different. I'm going a little longer on this one. My apologies. But still, Marshall lost to Virginia Tech, lost to Ohio State. They beat Western Michigan. They beat App State. They lost at Georgia Southern by 1 point, and that was a weird one. Absolutely weird. Georgia State, Louisiana Monroe, Southern Miss, Coastal, Old Dominion, they've won all of those in a row. This Marshall team is legit. So I don't want to break down too much on this. I'll just tell you, I think that Marshall is the better football team. I don't think they should be 3.5-point favorite or 3.5-point dogs. So we'll roll with Marshall on that. Last game of the day. Late night Big 12 matchup. BYU hosts Houston, and they are favored by 13.5 right now. This one opened at 12.5. It's out to 13.5. Total is 41.5 on this one. And look, I root for chaos as much as the next guy. However, I don't think we're going to get it here. Late night Provo, Houston. Let's look at the Houston offense first. Okay, one big special teams difference in favor of BYU here. You see it at the very top of your screen there. Houston, number 130, PPA per pass. Number 125, PPA per rush. This Houston team went on the road to Arizona last week and put 3 points on the board against a terrible Arizona football team. I don't know what you want me to do. And that was 2 weeks ago, sorry. I don't know what to make of that. I mean, this Houston team is so bad. And yet they've got four wins. They went over their season win total. How Willie Fritz got this team to four wins is all based right here. It's on the defense. Number 44 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. They're number 49 in PPA allowed per play. And yet BYU, I think, after losing two games, they realize they still have a shot at getting to the conference title game. You got to win this one. You are at home against a bad football team. I think they put their foot down here. I'm going to go with BYU. I think they're going to be able to throw the ball on Houston's defense. And they throw the ball more than they run it at this point. And Houston, I don't think, is going to be able to do anything on BYU's defense. So, and you start looking at special teams, turnover margin, penalties per game, penalty yards, all the fundamental things. Like just five factors plus talent. BYU is number 29, Houston number 106. BYU is the significantly more efficient team. So they are, I will take BYU minus 13.5. Under two touchdowns, I feel pretty good about it. All right, let's recap this bad boy. We'll keep this thing under an hour. How you like that? All right, we got Colorado minus 16.5, Wisconsin minus 2, Nebraska plus 6, Utah plus 9.5, Tennessee minus 10.5, Illinois minus 7.5, Louisville minus 4.5, Baylor plus 1.5, Texas Tech minus 3.5, Boston College minus 4.5, Missouri minus 3, Michigan State minus 1.5, NC State plus 3.5, Indiana minus 28.5, Florida State plus 15, Oklahoma plus 6, Oregon minus 19.5, Virginia plus 7.5, Marshall plus 3.5, BYU minus 13.5. 20 games down. Let's do this thing. All right. Thank you for being here. If you liked the show and you made it this far, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. That thing right there. Hit that like button. Of course, check out bettingcfb.com for me. That helps me out tremendously. $5 a month, $50 for the year. And all the stat sheets, all the stat graphics, bonus podcasts, etc. They're right over there. And they will be through bowl season as well. So knock that thing out if you would so kindly. Don't forget to check out the BetUS College Football Show every Tuesday and Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And we are keeping this baby rolling through bowl season all the way through the national title game and beyond. Of course, don't forget Three Dog Thursday. It's going to be on Wednesday. I told you about that before. Anyway, with that said, let's wrap this thing up. I hope you all have wonderful Thanksgivings. I hope you all enjoy some time with your loved ones. I hope you all get to take a break and just clear your mind and not have to worry about anything for a little while, other than football bets, right? That's what it goes. All right, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and follow me on Twitter, @GaryWCE. If you want to toss in a question, you can email me, Gary@WinningCuresEverything.com. Make sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.